This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ooh, we have started season six with a bang, and I got to tell you, the new promo art, speaking of bangs, your hair, it's really something to behold, definitely.
Well, in Courtney's language, we call it fringe. Fringe, yeah. In a Pam or a Megan.
Fringe
plus,
binge.
We have a pit crew pillow fight.
Mm-hmm. Some interesting fashions, party girl life of the party realness. We're loving diving into this classique moment. Season six is such a moment.
Season six is sensational. We are currently harvesting corn, which we will then pop to feed the children.
That's right.
We're getting a new podcast, and you're going to hear all about it. We are moguls, after all, of media.
Absolutely. And we hope you loved Famous This Week. And if you hadn't had a chance to listen to Brooklyn and Priyanka discuss all the biggest entertainment and pop culture stories of the week, go search for Famous This Week, wherever you get your podcasts.
And subscribe.
That's right. Now on with the show.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser.
Classica.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
Internet, video, television, stereo. My name's Alaska. What's yours?
I'm Willem. Do you know what happened last week? We got into the season six, episode one premiere with all of our friends and our sisters. RuPaul welcomed seven new sisters into the workroom, which is revealed to be only half of the season's cast, and immediately made them jump through the air into a foam pit and dig through pits of junk to compete in the first mini and main challenge. The whole episode was TV themed, right? Was it? Well, this is weird, because I wasn't on it. I mean, it's what they said, but yeah. I guess, I don't know. Ben de la Creme won the main challenge, and Vivacious and Kelly Mantle were in the bottom two, and Kelly sashayed away. This week, we're meeting the seven other storage whores of season six. Bring on the divas!
Bring out these whores! Okay, yes. This is RuPaul's big opening part two. This is a very fun mechanism that they introduced on season six, where you get to meet the cast over two different episodes, which I absolutely love. Both groups are just fucking packed. Season six is no joke. It's just, it's all stars.
Quotable quote. And honestly, out of season six, how many of the girls have been all stars? Let's count at this point. We have Gia, we have Milk, we have
Bendela,
Ben, or Dela, we have
Adora.
She was there for a sec. Adore. Darian hasn't yet. That's weird. And neither has
Trinity,
Courtney, or Trinity. Yeah, a lot of girls haven't, but should, I feel like. Jocelyn Fox, she was fifth, I think, and she hasn't been there. Or Ben was fit. Dela was fit.
A lot of talent. Fabulous dolls.
That's all we're saying. Lots of talented, Lots of talented trons. This week is episode 2, and it's RuPaul's big opening, part 2.
Yes.
And the episode starts right after Miss Mantle sashayed away, sliding away on bacon grease. And all the queens are running into the workroom, and it looks like the girls had an after party, because after the show, there was an after party in the workroom.
I know. How fun. They got to pop a bottle. They got silly string. Does Benda LaCreme get shot in the face? Someone gets shot in the face.
They don't show it, but they cut back to Dayla, and she's like talking, just like dripping and
I live. They see the lipstick message from Kelly. It says, "Love you, girls. Rock your XOXO Kelly Mantle. P.S. Eat my bacon." Vivacious says, "I wonder what the next troglodytes are gonna look like."
Damn, that is
and,
that.
And Adore says, "Let's leave a message on the mirror for the other girls." Now, looking at this, we get to see a little bit of group one here at the beginning of the episode, and then again at the very end. And looking at this, it kind of reminded me of the Pork Chop Lounge girls, in the sense that only one of these group one girls makes it to the final four, to the final three. Adore Delano, of course, which is sort of how it worked out on season 13, because Rosé was the only pork chop girl who ended up making it to the finals. So I don't know. It's an interesting parallel.
I see the parallel and
cinematic parallel.
And there's a bar right by the parallel. So I'm interested. Ru sees the girls and she says, "Hey, ladies. I got company in the morning, so shut your stinking pie holes and go to bed."
This is so funny. And Matthew turned out that blue mask and the curler's wig and must have done it pretty fast, because this beat happens really fast. And it's the end of the day and RuPaul wants to go the fuck home. So I think her frustration, she was probably pulling on real emotion for this delivery.
And we know
she
already had her slippers on, so.
Did you ever have the moment as a child where your mom tells you and your friends to shut the fuck up? I mean, this is constant. It was constant.
My mom used to come in and be like, "Get out of your cousin's bed. Separate beds." What?
I was with my best friend Elena in high school, and her mom was like, "You guys can hang out in the basement as long as you're quiet, because I'm a nurse and I have to wake up really early." We were like, fine. Yes, of course. So we were very, very quiet. We were very, very quiet. And then we like heard the door open in the ceiling. Then we hear her footsteps come to the top of the basement stairs, but nothing happens. And we just are sitting in terrified silence. And then we're like, "She's gone." And she was like,
and then she was like, "Will you do Hamlet with me in 18 years?
I did. And I said, "Absolutely. Yes, God."
Well, the girls left another message on the workroom for the next set of season 6 girls. And it says, "Beware, bitches."
I love that.
But they left their mess. They left all their party trimmings out. And the workroom is a disaster when the first girl saunters in. Or, sorry, the first lady saunters in.
Yes.
Because she's not a girl. She's sure not a woman. But the first queen that we get to meet on season 6, episode 2, is the Bianca Del Rio.
She's right.
Mm-hmm. She's 37, and she walks in and says, "Well, well, well, I hope you bitches are ready."
She's an insult comic, like Don Rickles, except much prettier and in a dress.
Yeah, and if she's looking for an insult, I mean, there's mirrors all over the place, so.
My heavens. She's really, I mean, she sort of comments on the fact that there's a party that just happened, and It was very exciting at the time to know that Bianca Del Rio was going to be on this mm-hmm. season, because she was very much a name that was known in the world of drag.
You can see how perturbed she is that that they had a party without the clown.
Mad, yeah.
Because Usually you shoot her in the mouth with the vodka gun behind the bar, and then she gives you a prize.
Or just spray it all over the place, which is fun too. Trinity Kardashian Bonet enters next, 22 years old. I had no idea she was so young at the time.
Yes, fresh, honey, fresh.
In her interview, she says, "I'm as close as you're going to get to Beyonce." Girl, she is gorgeous. And then she and Bianca are just, they have this really like very awkward moment of just sort of standing there and they don't talk. It's very strange.
Trinity does have a couple of utterances, but that's all I'd really call them. Like, they're not really this is cool. This is cool. Yeah. And
why wasn't Bianca taking the reins on this? I've never seen Bianca stand in a room and not be talking. This is the first time and it's caught on camera. She's always just, she's reading, she's telling a story, she's being hilarious. I've never seen her like not have anything to talk about with someone.
Have you ever seen her without liquor though?
See, that explains it.
This was early in the day. This was an early day for her.
Code.
Who knows? Maybe they did talk and they wanted to make it seem even more awkward because they were setting it up for later where Bianca kind of reads Trinity, you know? There might be some editing there because I've never met two drag queens who stay quiet in a room. I mean, when LaShawn came in the room, even I was like, yes, bitch, who are you? Where are you from, Florida? I talked about being from Florida and shit, and they didn't show any of that. They made it seem quieter than it was, for sure, with LaShawn and I.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then Jiggly came in and clocked the doll. we have Jersey's own Jocelyn, or Massachusetts, right? Massachusetts? Miss Jocelyn Fox coming in, 26. Mm-hmm. And she said she has nothing significant to say when she walks in, but she gives a womp womp on the titty. Which titty does she prefer? Is she a right tit or left tit?
It's her right, camera left, I believe.
Yeah.
She's bubbly, she's hilarious, and we see right off the bat they're doing the Jade Jolie laugh edit thing where it's like they like she says something, they cut away, and then we hear her giggling, like the copy and paste of the giggle. Love it. If you're a laugher and you have a cute laugh, girl, use it. And she does. She's very bubbly and very hilarious.
And everything must be leopard print, did you observe?
Honey, yes. That fucking coochie cutter dress. That is
honey.
Look
at them girls.
That's not a dress. That's a tube top. She doesn't want to contain her puss or her ass. And I don't blame her.
You think she tops in that tube?
Honey, it's a scooch. It's scoochy.
It's a scooch.
Because you can just scooch it up and the client is getting all the satisfaction that they need.
I mean, if the dress scooches, that's where it goes. it's definitely a chicken bucket dress for sure.
Very.
And to go with that chicken, why don't we wash it down with a nice tall glass of milk?
She does a body good girl.
She's a club kid.
She is. And she's talking with the girls and she says, face it, we're all just a bunch of clowns, aren't we? And Trinity's like, no.
No.
Not me, bitch.
You want an improv? No.
No.
Shut it down. She
it's
looks
not
great.
Yes and, it's no neither.
She has a she has a Spanish theme going on, like a bullfightress. And I think I've worn this hat. I think I borrowed this hat for something.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a cute little hat.
Milk has, you know, Milk has things to say about everybody's makeup. Like Milk goes up, the first thing she says to Bianca is like, those eyelashes, oh. When Magnolia comes in, she's like, that nose. She really likes to just like point out makeup trends.
You should see her pointing on the OnlyFans. That's where she points. Yeah, subscribe to that. It's a great one. There's a little bit of if a drag queen gets that close to your face and starts talking to you, I instantly back up, but Magnolia stands right there. And Magnolia comes in and she says, oh, wow. That's her open line. This is before the girls read their opening line off their t-shirts, which were already printed in quantity stock in gilded stacked t-shirts.
In boxes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. This is before it was necessary, or the queens felt it was necessary to have a scripted, ready-to-go line walking in the room. Mm-hmm. We get Magnolia Crawford. She says, well, I'm the funniest. Well, I'm not funny. I'm the sexiest. Well, I'm not sexy.
Not sexy.
I'm the world's most glamorous trash queen.
Okay, work. Which I thought was divine, but okay, cool. Oh. She's dead, so we need a new one. Who is she pointing at with that nose, though? Honestly.
Honey, are you a swordfish? Do you turn pages in a book with that thing?
Bianca is already giving interview. Bianca's eating it up. She is eating it up.
She's the official narrator. Is this Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? And she is cast as the narrator. Potiphar, da, 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 da. She literally is narrating everything. Because why wouldn't she? I mean, she really is so good at soundbite and being hilarious and sitting in the chair and just being sassy, cunty, funny.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break because you'll see why. We have to get ready for the Courtney act.
Ooh, we'll be right back.
Titter, titter. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. You're literally getting them out of you by speaking them and figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
That's right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think therapy is a very useful tool, whether you've been through something very traumatic or you're just trying to better yourself.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. You don't have to leave your house. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, all the therapists have licenses, so get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag. This episode is brought to you by, I almost nodded off because this Helix mattress is so comfortable, Helix Sleep!
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
I've had several many Helix mattresses for several many years now, and I love them all. They're all my
babies. I've read the men's room wall.
We have the Midnight Dusk. We have the one for heavy sleepers, and that's also good.
Oh, they're all good.
If you have slumber parties, I love a Helix party. And we are the Helix girls, and we have been for such a long time that we know what works best for us and our bodies. But if you don't know, you could take a Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Also models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Ooh, plus enhanced cooling features to help you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home, so that's why they offer a 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress and a 10 to 15-year warranty.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it's not going to last long.
It's so good, I'm going to say it again. That's helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Ooh, la 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 la.
Well,
I don't want to go on after her, so you announce her.
Listen, the next person to come into the workroom is the one and only 31-year-old Australian household name, Courtney Act.
Yes.
Is this America's Next Top Model? Oh, sorry.
Wearing a Marco Marco cocktail dress, a Wigs by Vanity, looking beautiful and fresh.
Jesus Christ.
And this is the first appearance of the classic Courtney Diamante hoop earring. We'll be keeping account. And she says she's originally from Sydney, but now she lives in West Hollywood with the mean gays.
She's so pretty. She's so bubbly. Also, this dress is the perfect dress to walk in to Drag Race because... you can sort of, you're ready for anything. Her legs are out. Her legs are fantastic. And it gives like the shape. You don't have to really worry about sitting on a tuck for fucking 12 hours. It's a perfect dress to enter the workroom. She looks unfucking real.
Yes, honestly. And being that she's the oldest of the AAA girls, it's just staggering. Also... do you think she was wearing those puce-colored tuck pad, butt pad combo? Because those things were so old.
No.
No?
No, because they show her in her underwear and she's wearing like zebra print. I think she was ready for if there was wind or something and it flapped up. I think it was like a zebra print kind of humorous underwear.
Oh, this is when she used to wear underwear before she went on a reality show. Got it. I understand now. I was confused. My bad. Now we have the always funny, effervescent Darian Lake. Darian Lake says, I am 24. I am from Schenectady and I am a compulsive liar.
So fun. Darian Lake is one of the funniest people I've ever met. She's so funny.
She says, there may be funny queens, but I'm funnier. There may be big queens, but I'm bigger.
Yeah. She's literally got a zinger for everything that everybody says. She's like, well, first of all, her walking into the workroom is great. She's like, widen the doorways and reinforce the runways, honey, because the big girl's in the house.
The girls inside say, I hear a Clydesdale. I think Bianca tries to read her because stomping down the runway in a blue velvet gown, it's Miss Darian Lake. She's coming. Yes. And she does mention that she is the penetration of season 6, that she was the fan favorite on the online Facebook contest.
Absolutely.
Which you may want to reference back later because they might try to penetration a bitch.
Well, it's usually the kiss of death because they're like, we're not going to let no internet poll tell us what to do. Get her out of here. No, but it obviously works out in Darian's favor. Milk says, hi, I'm Milk. And Darian says, I'm heavy cream. She says something about getting pollinated. I mean, she's really just so funny and quick. And you can tell that she's not to be fucked with on this season at all.
I think an accurate description of Darian Lake would be a quip factory.
Quip factory. So funny.
Because she just is. They keep coming. And honestly, when she was hosting the Haters Roast Tour, it was something new every night. It was always fresh. And if you get a chance to see Darian Lake, go see her. And... mm-hmm. You might miss her because she's lost about half of her size, too. So,
yeah, she's been on a journey.
She's been killing it.
She's been on a journey, absolutely. We get a message from RuPaul. The girls are stunned because, you know, there's only 7 of them. Welcome, my queens. You might think you were tardy for the party, but it's not about who comes first, but who lasts longest. Now you've got to fight for your right to party.
Oh, look who's here, RuPaul.
Look how she's here.
RuPaul is letting the 7 queens present know that the other girls already done had their herses and they had competed in a challenge and one queen was already sent home. But Ru says that this will give herself a better chance to know each queen. But the bad thing is now, probability-wise, there's a 1 in 7 chance that a bitch may go home without meeting the rest of the cast.
Right, and... none of these hoes gets to meet Kelly Mantle, so...
none of them.
Like, fuck. Like, goddamn.
Thank God for CSI reruns.
Right. There's a mini challenge with the legendary Mike Ruiz, and this is the sexy bedroom pillow fight. What do you think of this challenge? Would you like to do this?
I have allergies, and honestly, all these feathers would make me sneeze. But I would find my way through it, and I would probably slay because I know my way around a bed with four men in it.
You do.
Mm-hmm. I had an anniversary party once that was a short guest list, but everybody was very happy they RSVP'd.
Very exclusive.
And there might have been a little pee. Bianca says, I usually don't like to go first unless it's at the bathhouse.
Quip factory. So funny.
Honestly, I say the same thing. You never go first or last at nachos or a gangbang. You want to go somewhere in the middle to get a good bite, you know?
Right. Bianca does a great job. I mean, I feel like they keep telling her to be sexy, and that is not really her product or her wheelhouse, but she still does a great job. I mean, you can tell that she knows how to do a photo shoot. She's been around in the industry long enough. She knows which faces to give, and she does a good job.
Kind of like telling a chicken to fly. Like, yeah, they'll get a little bit.
Now, Courtney knows how to do sexy.
Courtney knows sexy. She flips her hair forward, and then she flips it back, and she just gives all that face, and she says, look at this face. Look at this household face.
Literally, RuPaul is like, get her off my set.
Now, RuPaul is trying to win Courtney's favor by spitting Australianisms so frequently. And Courtney's just like, hey.
You don't want to look like the dog's dinner. Oh, wait, that's later, I think. Magnolia is having trouble.
Not Magnolia.
You know who really... Because, listen, being a drag queen, you do photo shoots. It's part of your thing. I find photo shoots to be very difficult for me.
I hate them.
It's not natural for me. I would much prefer to do something that's video and I'm talking and I'm, like, in motion. But, like, doing still photography... We make it look easy, but it's very, very difficult. Trinity fucking K. Bonet is so good at photo shoots, and you can see it in this fucking mini challenge. She's just like, giving.
Supermodel. The Helix mattress would be soaked with pussy juice after Trinity exited because...
Soaked through. Which you can return it like that in the 100-day sleep trial. Yeah. I soaked it through with the excretions from my pussy being so sickening. So
please pick it up with a no contact pickup. I'll leave it in the yard. Jocelyn comes back in. She does a good job on the photo shoot too. And the skirt is continuing to rise.
Her ass is trying to escape.
Honey, prison, baby. And it's a cute ass, so why not show it?
Very, very cute. She's adorable.
I'm not mad at it at all. Courtney has the... Courtney, once again, horrible vegan. She says, you know, I usually don't do milk. I usually don't do dairy, but for milk, I'll make an exception. The bitch is a liar. I've seen her fall asleep with a wedge of cheese in her mouth, like Gus the Mouse from Cinderella. Honey, there's bacon in this? I didn't know.
I just ate the whole box.
I didn't know a bacon salad has bacon and cheese.
RuPaul comes back into the workroom. It's no surprise that Trinity K. Bonet wins the mini challenge. And then we find out for the main challenge, it's kind of similar to the challenge that happened last week with you get a box of stuff and you have to do something with it. But this is party themed.
Mm-hmm. Which Courtney loves. She loves a party.
Yeah. And sometimes she plays. Like there's a misspelling on the outline. The T is capitalized, Deborah. So just...
I'm so used to seeing it that way.
Right. You might want to... Yeah.
Party. She read me on Call Me Brenda this week. She called me ugly almost. She said, now I know what it's like to be Willem, to be a friend of someone beautiful. And I said, you
I heard that.
Bitch.
You little bitch. I'm going to block you on Twitter now. It's going around. The challenge is you create your best life of the party high fashion couture, which basically is like you just make something that is very you out of this, out of whatever box you're given.
Yeah.
Trinity gets the task of assigning the boxes because she won the illustrious photo shoot, which the prize is the photo gets posted to the RuPaul's Drag Race Instagram.
Hashtag party like a drag queen.
Do it for the glam. Mm. Do it for the fame.
Which of these boxes would you want? We have the Princess Party box, St. Patrick's Day, Quinceañera, Hoedown, Republican, Luau, or Toga?
For me, personally, I mean, I actually would have liked the Hoedown that Magnolia had such a fucking problem with. She was really bothered. Or the Princess Party, but I think Hoedown would be a really fun, like, call me Joanne kind of moment. I would be into that.
For sure. Well,
Magnolia is a ball of negativity.
You know where they got all those feathers for the pillow fight? From Magnolia, because she was plucking.
She's being plucked.
Pluckington's galore. She's so mad. She's like, I hate it. This box is ugly. Has nothing to do with her style. And I'm like, you just said you're a glamorous trash queen, and this shit is trash. So, honey,
right,
go with it.
Mama, this is garbage.
Trinity assigns the Princess Party to herself. Darian gets St. Patrick's Day, which is good because she's got some green contacts. You'll see later. Jocelyn gets the Quinceañera. How does Trinity say it? It might be the flipper.
She does say Yetta.
Yeah, Quinceañera. So the grandma from The Nanny pops out. Magnolia gets the Hoedown as previously aforementioned. Courtney gets a Republican box and somebody says appropriate. I'm like, fuck. Huh? Yeah. I would personally choose between Bianca and Milk's box, the luau and the toga, because everybody looks good in flowers and floral prints. You can wear them in your hair. You can wear them in your pussy, around your ankles, anywhere. And togas, like, you get all the fabric, the gold, the drapery, and every October 27th for the past 58 years, Ray has been throwing toga parties, so I have lots of toga experience.
I love that.
With draping and pinning and swagging, you know, soft sculpture.
Love a toga party. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go slip into our togas and take a break, and we'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yes, I'm a very London intense. Girl now. Very I'm a intense. London lady. So we're back in the workroom. I just put the wig down that I'm trying on. And Jocelyn loves all the colors in her Quinceañera box. And she also has house numbers. And she says, look, I have house numbers.
Queen, they're supposed to spell 15. It's your age. It's a Quinceañera. You fucking idiot.
Rue comes through for the walkthrough. Some of them are more successful than others. RuPaul is giving nooch to Darian. Darian seems really nervous with RuPaul. That's the impression I'm getting.
I feel like Darian was doing a bit, though, with RuPaul, and RuPaul just wasn't playing along with it and improvising back, because it was amusing at first. She's like, you know, I'm just going for a executive, glamorous, but also maybe. And like, I felt like she was trying to go off of RuPaul's Nuchingtons, continuing it, and instead the sand around her was just collapsing into a sinkhole.
Yeah.
Of nooch.
Yeah, Trinity, she explains the K in her name stands for Kardashian. She's doing a mix between Princess Leia and Princess Kate, which doesn't sound crazy to me, but to RuPaul has never heard of anything so absurd in her life.
But princesses are younger than queens anyway.
Princess Laritza.
But honestly, Princess Leia and Princess Kate, as weird as it may sound in your heads, once we see her on the runway, it makes sense.
It does. Like,
and she clearly has a lot of style and some taste. I like Trinity's outfit. Rue and Courtney have a nice chat and explain the meaning behind her name. Courtney is charming to a fault.
Lovely.
She says, yeah, thank you for explaining to America my name. It doesn't work here except in Boston.
Yeah.
And
which, for those of you listening, if you don't fucking know, Courtney Act in Australian sounds like caught in the act, which is like caught in the act.
And she has
the more you know.
Shall we say her shadow name, too? You may find her at a gig one day.
Roxanne DeBrie?
Roxanne DeBrie.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
She has
top model facts!
No.
Different show, but all right.
RuPaul's Drag Race facts!
Courtney does make the
Why
prediction.
Why did you do that, Tyra? Why did you do that, RuPaul?
Courtney correctly makes the prediction that Michelle will tell her to stop relying on that body.
You got that right.
That Bondi Beach body.
Well, you don't want to end up looking like the dog's dinner.
RuPaul's trying.
Okay.
Rue goes to Bianca and she asks her about her quick wit. And Bianca just says, oh, I call it my Rolodex of hate. And she explains that her job working as a costume designer and a construction expert at this costume house in England, or not England, that's where I'm, in New York, is helping her with this. Because she already has a dress like all like pieced and patterned out. So inside out, like she knows what she's doing by the looks of this mannequin.
She knows her way around a fucking sewing machine, that's for sure.
And if you've ever seen her Palm Springs sewing room, it's great. And she gives breaks to her workers. The radiator she chains them to is never on except in the winter, and it's a temperate climate. Magnolia makes the mistake of being ungrateful. She complains to Rue. She says none of this is high fashion, and Rue says, well, what is Magnolia's style? And Magnolia says, things that are so ugly, they're pretty. And Rue's like, well,
right. It doesn't play well on reality TV it's basically improv. It's keeping the sort of bouncing ball going. They throw at you a scenario that is uncomfortable or unusual, and your job is to yes and. You accept it and you go for it.
Well, Magnolia has no right in the middle of her name, and she keeps serving it up.
Leah Crawford.
Honestly, we could call it Mad. Mad no.
Mad no.
And then leaving.
Leah Michelle Crawford.
Damn.
Jocelyn, we hear her coin the term, hey, Rosie Q.
I want to be friends with Jocelyn. She seems so fun.
What is she doing nowadays?
I don't know. She got married. Probably having babies. She says she wants to avoid being too loud or too busy with her outfit. But she's literally chosen. Her work table is full. And at this point,
she's doing it all.
At this point, you know that there's six tables in the workroom, and it looks like Courtney and Bianca are sharing a table, and Jocelyn's table is completely inundated with fabric. You cannot see any of the table top, honey. And I was looking, you know how I look for tops. I couldn't find any.
Yeah.
None.
They do the thing like they did on Top Model, where the girls show up at the house, and there's 13 girls, but there's only 12 beds. They do this with like mirror stations on Drag Race,
and
they
chairs. Did it
right, and so it's very like it's like a psychological thing of like who ends up not having, you know, the chair and how does that affect you. The girls are cramped and doing their thing. And I love that RuPaul she goes around to milk, and she pronounces milk as milk.
Melchior.
Which I love.
Milk says she's going to make a Xanadu type of jumpsuit, and she's going to make it high fashion. Yeah. And Rue says, well, you'll be under a lot of scrutiny. Like, she doesn't already fucking know. Oh, you mean there's cameras?
You'll be under a lot of scrutiny.
Are you
dear.
Saying the gays assembled on the dais will be judgy? Shock.
Girl.
Shock.
Okay, so...
Oh, the next, Jocelyn.
The next day they're getting ready. Everyone is, like, scandalized at the... What?
Dipper just sent a picture of Jocelyn through looking like that.
Current day.
Oh, bearded.
Bearded beauty in a brief
with
the bell end.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
And she says, we're not going to pay rent.
Oh, because she's wearing a rent shirt. I was like, well, I mean.
And she said, hashtag I made this shirt. Hashtag rent live. Hashtag rent live on Fox. Hashtag maybe someday.
I Gorge. Live.
Gorge.
Well, she's the black horse of the competition.
Do you mean dark horse? Yeah, but
I've always thought of it as black horse. Everyone is freaking out over Milk's decision to wear facial hair. Everyone is like, oh, you're going to go home. Need help packing. I hope you're packed. I hope you're packed, bitch.
It is kind of unorthodox. I think she's probably the first queen to purposely have facial hair on the runway. I'm not going to say who did it before her, but you know, there's trailblazers.
She learned it from watching you.
Do you remember those drug commercials?
I remember there's a drinking commercial where there's like the old lady drinking and she's like, I'm just gonna have dinner in my room, and then you see her pour a glass of wine.
That was Bianca. That was footage of Bianca. I think
that was her audition tape. And we're not saying she's a fucking drunk, because
we're not.
We don't.
No, we're not. That would be untoward.
Let's hear about these meerkats.
No.
Meerkats? Where? Meerkats? I love meerkats. We just talked about the meerkats.
Courtney says, I have a household name, you bitches.
Yeah, and this is something that is true if you're in her parents' house.
So rotted.
She
continues to be a very major recognizable celebrity in Australia, and she had already been on Australian Idol. And
I mean,
she was a household name.
She's not Down Under's first drag superstar, though. That title will go to another queen for sure, apparently. Yes. And definitely not Art. Hey, Art.
Damn. Okay, let's just talk about the main stage.
RuPaul, honey.
RuPaul.
Steel Dragnolias in this woman of steel colored shimmering gown, off the
beautiful.
Shoulder, strappy, yeah. Bias cut, the hair, just beautiful. Just
very beautiful work. Very like old Hollywood, soft, kind of Marilyn-ish, kind of Marcel waves. Beautiful turning it. I love the gown. I love the look. She looks outstanding, as always.
Michelle looks like... I don't know. It looks like Kiss of the Spider-Woman, but everything that the chorus would wear all at once. There's
okay.
way too yeah. many things on it. Feathers, uh-huh. beads. I don't even know what the fuck she's wearing. She looks like she fell down and had spray adhesive on her, and then she just got up, and that was what was there.
She looks great. She looks like a supervillain, but that's what she's supposed to look like. Santino Rice is there, bald and beautiful. Khloe Kardashian is sitting next to Santino. She looks lovely. Honey, that unit is sitting.
Mm-hmm. She
There's
definitely
bundles.
Has
bundles. Bundleisha. Let's talk about this Sissy That Walk runway.
First up, we have Trinity. She's mm-hmm. giving this Queen Amidala Goes to the Met look. Moment.
I love this. I mean, she clearly knows her way around construction. It's like a silver space. She really went for the Queen Amidala thing, which is a which is an interesting interpretation of the princess box. I think she looks fucking cool.
Me too. It's not some fluffy little Honey Boo Boo moment. I love this, that she went with a fashion slant for it, for sure. And walking, honey, walking. Like, you could tell she's done a ball or two. She's from Atlanta. Yeah. What do we think of Bianca Del Rio?
I mean, Bianca Del Rio looks exactly like Bianca Del Rio. you could hold a picture of this next to a picture of Bianca Del Rio, and you'd swear they were the same person. But she looks fucking fantastic. This is the thing. It's like, if you know your silhouette that you like to do, every beat is there. The bracelets on the thing, she's holding the accessory. She's got the flowers in the hair, the earrings. She knocked it out of the park. She looks great.
I could have done without the hay in the hair, but some of my wigs look like hay, so I don't have room to talk, really.
She's a real hay seed.
Hey, girl, hay in your hair. Darian comes out with green contacts, complementing the green sequin dot top that she assembled. A lovely brooch closure at the shoulder. Beautiful hair. A sensible shoe.
She looks beautiful, and we have to have the conversation about the fact that she is a queen of size, and these boxes were assigned randomly, and sometimes it's a huge disadvantage for construction challenges for larger queens, as far as like what silhouettes she's gonna wear and which silhouettes she can construct with the fucking materials that are provided.
Yeah.
So I think she had an uphill battle, but I think she looks really pretty.
The outfit is clean. It's constructed well. I don't see any detractors from it, other than it not being maybe as flash as the other girls. But honestly, it does a favor for it that she's followed by Magnolia, who comes out in a tube with a bow on her ass and then a red shoe and one bracelet. This is, you see Santino's mouth start to gape open a bit, like he's confused, like, what the fuck's going on here? Because there's not much going on. There's not much to judge. It doesn't have much shape. She didn't really define her waist, except when she put her hands on her hips.
I feel like it could have worked if her delivery of it was slightly different. If maybe the styling was a little...
The hair looks like she took it to a wig maker and said, do this RuPaul wig. And then that's what she got back. Because it ain't... It's that thing where sometimes hairstylists set the hair by the lace back before they pull it forward.
Mm-hmm,
and it doesn't look right on her. She doesn't look happy to be there. She doesn't look jazzed like how you should be for your first runway. She comes out and she makes a little pound cake face. She's like... like the points of her lips point down. She's not happy. And it shows.
That being said, I would wear this dress. But, you know...
Well, that's why we're not in a girl group anymore. Jocelyn has on everything. And then she has a flower wand of some sort and 15 bracelets on one wrist. That necklace that she wears in 9 episodes.
The famous Jocelyn Fox necklace that she wears in a few challenges. Honey, know your silhouette and deliver at all times. I think she looks pretty, though. And this is another thing of, like, sometimes personality can help sell a garment that maybe is not constructed perfectly, but her personality shines through and she looks beautiful to me.
Yeah, a lot of the girls this runway have been plagued with either they did too much or too little.
Right.
But then we have Courtney come out, who's doing just enough because she got that face. She got that Diamante classic Courtney earring. And she decided to wrap some fabric around her skirt with a bikini. And this shoe that I had to throw out from her apartment on Fountain, I said, you can't wear this anymore. I have a video of me with this shoe saying, what the fuck is this? And she said, oh, I wore that on the runway. And I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. Go back to Australia.
I think she looks pretty.
The shoe is horrible. It's a Jessica.
What's wrong with the shoe?
The shoe is a Jessica Simpson knockoff, which was a knockoff of a Louboutin cork shoe. It's ugly. That's what's wrong with it. And her toenail's not painted. And you know that her toes are webbed, so they aren't right. The shoe's not right. It's bad.
She's going for resort.
On the runway? That's fine.
Yes. She's going for resort wear. She's doing swimsuit category.
Well, and I don't like it when Courtney works blue.
You really shouldn't have worked blue. We're going to have to write you up.
She does look beautiful. The train is a little long, and she does trip herself up on it, much like her lyrics, often.
Damn.
You want to take this next one, Diva?
Milk comes out looking angelic, and she turns around to reveal, gasp, she has a beard, a facial. The judges are, oh, Michelle's making notes. She's writing down notes. Oh, Santino just looks and goes, oh.
I'm all for pushing boundaries, and I know she's got her own style and everything, but why put a suspender on your outfit if you're not going to use it? And I don't know that the beard added anything to it other than a Father Time Billy Goat element. You know, I
love it.
I love it, but I don't
defend the beard.
I don't see how it's toga. And how is a lily pad on one's head toga? Even if it was in the box, how is it toga?
I adore this look.
Me too.
It is toga. I think it's an updated, elevated version of toga. I think the beard, it was a ballsy move that she did right out of the gate and said, you know what? I'm going to tell them exactly who I am. And this is setting the bar for myself as far as what you can expect for the rest of the season.
What just happened? My screen did something weird.
We're going to take a break.
Well, we were going to take a break.
Well, I know one podcast that doesn't look like the dog's dinner, and that's called The Chop with Latrice and Manila. And they're talking about Drag Race Down Under. So we're going to check in with these...
How do you say, like, girls or, like, ladies?
Sheilas.
We're going to check in with these couple of Sheilas. We got a Pam and a Megan, and they're going to bring you a segment we call... The Down Under Digest.
My name is Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your Down Under Digest.
On episode 2 of Drag Race Down Under, we get our favorite challenge early with the snatch game. Were you snatched away?
No. And on the runway, we were presented with some seasickening looks. What did you think, Manila?
I think that we are polluting the oceans. And the person who went home, are you shooketh?
Bitch, completely shooketh.
For more recaps of season 1 of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under,
check out The Chop every Thursday here on the Mom Network.
Now, Willem, I just have one question. Could we see the look without the back piece? Without the head?
Can we see the look without the pegboard?
Without the bulletin board? Much better. So much
fashion.
Better. We are qualified to be behind this table. Look, our simple suggestion has transformed your life.
Meanwhile, Michelle has a whole craft table on her one shoulder alone.
I like
feathers,
her look.
Bead.
I think she looks good.
I'm not saying she doesn't look beautiful. I'm just saying I wouldn't wear the outfit because I think the outfit would wear me. I just couldn't take it, you know? Michelle does look beautiful.
What is it you can't take?
That doesn't really work.
What is it you can't take, cunt face? What is it you can't face? That it. So let's talk about the judges' critiques from this episode. Trinity was told to take her headpiece off, and I honestly agree with the feedback. She did look more beautiful. It showed her hair, her neck.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. She's so long and lean.
Yeah.
Bianca is told that her eye makeup is too heavy from Chloe's first face. So
no one's ever said that to Bianca before.
301s on the bottom.
Could you imagine if Bianca showed up one week on Drag Race and was just soft little, just a wispy, like Courtney Paint? Could you imagine?
I want Courtney and LaGanja to do Bianca's makeup one time.
Right? Well, Bianca used to paint like that. She used
We've seen in 1988 when she started drag.
You see, like, she's done Cher and stuff, and, like, she really, like, she's magnified her paint. I'm still waiting for the Trixie Mattel photo shoot where someone just paints her, like, a little wisp of a lash and just a little dusting of shimmer on the cheek. I cannot wait. I'm glad she's making us wait. You know, and Bianca's making us wait even longer to see softness.
Damn, I remember when you were soft when Courtney painted you.
Delete this podcast now. My most viewed YouTube video. Honey,
what did you think?
Honey, I've spent $30,000 on a music video before, but you know, something about me getting painted and looking like a fucking goon and a goblin, that'll really get the views coming in. This is working smarter, not harder.
Goon, goblin, gorge. The three G's. Latrice and I came up with a 6G today in rehearsal because we were talking about one of the girls, and she was like 5 G's. I was like 6, and she's like, "What's the 6th one?" I said, "Good God, girl, get a grip, go,
get out of my sight." Yeah.
So Darian's outfit, would you wear this?
I mean, would I wear it? Yes. Like a black mini skirt with a say something top? Absolutely. It depends on the party. It depends on the event.
Chloe mentions puffy puss and says that she is also afflicted with puffy puss sometimes. So she does mention that Darian's face is gorgeous, which anyone with eyes can see, of course.
Yeah.
Then we get to Magnolia.
She's got green contacts.
Mm-hmm. She's a green girl.
She's breaking out the fresh looks. You like the fresh look?
Yes, I used to wear them in teal.
Girl, hell yes. Magnolia, they're going in on the nose contour. Magnolia jumps in right away.
Sorry, did you mean Magnolia? She's mad still.
Magnolia.
Yeah.
She's like, this is over the top to me. I have a goddamn bow on my ass. I don't know if she's doing a character. I think she just really hated being there and didn't.
Maybe she's used to dealing with really, really drunk people in a bar. Because, you know, that's how you would be.
Well, so is Bianca.
That's true. Never mind. But she is that drunk person in a bar.
Right. I don't like this.
Honestly.
Where's my table? Where's the bottle? Move.
Did they get mixers? Chloe says what we're all thinking. She says, "I get this angry vibe from you."
Yeah.
And
she's
and
very
RuPaul,
perceptive. She's the most perceptive of the Kardashian sisters.
And when RuPaul says, "We're moving on," that was the part where I'm like, oh. And she should just say without you because
honey, your papers are signed when RuPaul says that shit. Honey, I mean, really. Jocelyn, they say you're wearing too much. You're wearing the kitchen sink. Michelle says you only need half of it. They say the construction is rough. But you know what? Her personality's nice. And more is more in drag for me. So.
And this young upstart ingenue, Courtney, they say they love her body, but her skirt was too long and there wasn't much outfit and she was definitely relying on her body. I like to call her Star Crotch.
She took an unhemmed piece of fabric and put it over her underwear and she said, "Bitch, I am the one, cunts." She was stunning. She was pretty.
She put on her oyster gloss.
Honey, well, you know her box was the Republican Party, so, I mean, maybe it was a staunch criticism of the policies of, you know, of the right wing.
It was a Megyn Kelly, for sure.
Right. Maybe she was, you know.
Wait, but if it was the Republican Party, why was it blue and not red?
Well, maybe she was critiquing Fox News. Maybe she was saying their coverage is flimsy and slapdash. Just
like this much like the bottom. Thank you. You beat me. For Milk, we have a ginormous misdirect from Santino who draws it out.
Everyone. Oh my God. It's like it's a horror movie. It's like.
We're waiting on bated breath.
We're all.
Bated breasts.
Kathy, yeah. Bated breath. Yeah. We are all, it's a terrifying edit. Even when they cut to Milk's like reaction, they like leave a pause before she answers. She's like, yeah, I did wear a beard. Well, you should have left the beard off because the outfit is so sickening. It's so good. Because the outfit is really good and I like the beard, but,
yeah, and she took a chance and fortune favors the brave and right. She looks beautiful. Yeah. The safe girls after this adjudication are Trinity, Milk, Courtney, and Jocelyn.
Yeah.
And Bianca won some shitty stretch fabric from Fabric Planet, which did not amount to $2,500.
Fabric Planet as well. Anything that she wears or does on Fabric Planet is still under the purview of the contract.
Damn. The bottom two are Magnolia Crawford and Darian mm-hmm. Lake. And this is a classic drag song, Turn the Beat Around by Vicky Sue Robinson. Couple of key Vicky changes Sue. In there. You gotta play the bongos on your titties.
Yes. This is one of those classic drag songs. I'm really glad that Darian was given this song and given a chance to show us what she does.
Oh my God, something just ran across the floor. It was a rat tat tat tat.
My favorite was got to have the rhythm. There's no doubt about it. I can't remember the words.
There's a moment in the song where there's this kind of like a nasty growl in the song, and Darian looks straight at Magnolia and tells her exactly what she thinks. And it's so wonderful.
That is what you have to do with a lip sync. You interact with the other person. You make you show the judges that you know every nuance of the song. And that's exactly what Darian did. Magnolia didn't not only know the nuances, she didn't really know the words or just chose to not lip sync it like Tina Burner.
Yeah, maybe this was a whole like performance thing where she was trying to be a bitch, because at the end she does say all publicity is good publicity, but it doesn't feel like an evil genius. It feels more like a rotted happenstance. But still, like, I thought her promo was beautiful enough that I wanted to be her in it with a side of Courtney Act. So,
you did.
Like, I would like to pay tribute to her, and if she's listening out there.
Courtney Crawford.
Damn. The RuPaul says, congratulations, lady. Enjoy this moment because there are six more fierce queens ready to snatch the crown. BBB, bitches better beware.
That's right. We get a little bit of a glimpse of the standoff between the group one and the group two girls. A lot Adore's of drama to be expected.
Her curly. Fake contouring her breasts. Like, we know there's nothing on that brush. Put it down, girl. Gia's filing her nails. They're press-ons.
It's always so... This is an extra day that the girls had to get in drag and show up to the set. Like, for that... Just for that beat that really lasts, like, 1 minute on the show. But it's worth it because we get to see that showdown across the room. Like, look at these rotted... bitches. So I can't wait to see how that turns out.
Baloney!
We are so thrilled, so blessed, so honored to have the winner of season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race with us for our little pop-up segments. You know how we do it with Classique. We have someone pop on, bless us with bits and tidbits. She'll be sharing memories about her experience from season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race every week with a segment that we call... We don't have a name for it yet.
We don't have a name for it, but this is the first segment, so we'll determine the name. And we'd like to have the input of our listeners and our esteemed Diamond Crown Queen, Miss Bianca Del Rio.
Oh, it's so exciting. Oh, I'm so excited to be here with you two today to discuss something that happened 8 years ago. This exactly. is going to be good. Let's see.
Keeping it current. We're keeping it current.
Yeah.
I'm so excited I can barely thread a needle.
Oh. Well, I think you spoiled it by telling everybody I won. So this is going to ruin it for someone. So expect the comments to come in.
We will. We'll be getting letters. Yeah. So we want to pitch you some names, okay? Some titles for this segment. Because we've done Tammy's Tidbits.
Uh-huh.
What are the other ones? Latitudes with Latrice.
Latitudes.
Okay.
Because it's certainly not longitude.
Raja's Reflections.
Oh.
So we've done... Willem, why don't you pitch this first one?
Okay, so the first one is ADR with BDR.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I don't like that one.
Okay.
I shot it down in the pitch room.
Well, I have nothing else to go with, so let me hear the next one.
Okay. I'm not reading that one. I was thinking...
I don't like that one either.
I was thinking Bianca Del Recaps.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. First place. Yeah.
Not bad.
Courtney Cunt Chats. But that was when you weren't answering your emails to schedule. We were going to have to go with a lesser choice.
Listen, she's always available. She's got nothing else going on. So go ahead. You could have used her. You know you got to call me. I'm old. I don't check my emails every day. You got to call me and say, hey, faggot, this is what's going on.
Well, we're also glad to have Jamie there to press the record button. We know you can't see it.
Nope, can't.
Right.
Not going to lie.
We also have Bianca Del Rio remembers.
Okay. Oh, that sounds funereal.
Yes, it does. Well, it's fitting. It's fitting.
What about like clown chat?
Clown chat. I like clown chat. I have to say, clown chat is good. Clown chat's good.
Clown chat with Bianca Del Rio.
Okay. Let us know what you think.
Let us know. Send us emails. Send us comments. And let us know which one's in the lead. Or if you have new name reflections or suggestions that we haven't come up with, please let us know.
Uh-huh.
Now we have a few questions, and we're going to be dividing them up over the course of the She Caps. And the first question that we'd like to pose to you is: what were your thoughts on episode 2, walking into the workroom and finding out 7 queens had already just had a glam bang in there? It was dirty. It was used. Did it remind you of anything?
They didn't clean up after themselves. The party materials were all over the table.
They were not clean stations. Well, they did not leave it as they found it.
No, they did not. Well, you know, I got to tell you this. I did not know because this is what happens. You know that they bring you separately to the set. So they brought us to the set and they said, wear something that could be destroyed. Well, I had the same dress in every color. So I was like, I'll pick this one. And as I got there, I was escorted to the back and one of the producers looked at me and he says, what are you going to say when you go in the room? And I was going to say, oh my God, I must be in somebody's nose because this room is full of boogers. And he said, nice. Well, what if you're first? And I said, well, you wouldn't have told me that unless I am first. And it was just this moment of like, okay. Now, I didn't know there was another group before. So I went in. No one was there. And then I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then in my brain, I'm going, I really should have watched the show from the beginning because this might be the way it works all the time. I don't know.
Right.
I had only seen 4, 5, and 6, 4 and 5. So I was like, okay, so maybe it's just 7 of us. And I was so mad when I found out there was another group of girls because I'm like, I didn't even fucking pay attention because I was so... like trying to soak it all in the moment. So I didn't know that there were 7 other girls there. So it was just one of those things where after I found out, I was kind of like, oh, fuck. And literally it was just 2 days with my group. And I hated the other group for no reason other than the fact that they were just the other group. You know how that is?
Resentful. Yeah.
It was totally West Side Story. It was just like, I don't like her face. I mean, let's face it. I was looking at Gia Gunn. I was looking at LaGanja. I was looking at, who else was in that group? Vivacious. I mean, I was just like, I don't like them. That was just my initial reaction.
You didn't hit it off with Ornacia?
I did not. The worst part about Vivacious is she's like, Bianca, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, hey, Don't remember her. I don't know where I met her in New York. It was okay. But yeah, that was that.
I love that when RuPaul walked up, you said, call me Jiggly.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
Just hilarious. Well,
one of those things, though, it was weird. And you guys know, I guess, because you've been in it. It was just this thing for the moment when it all started, you're going, oh, my God, I'm inside of the TV. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, you go, oh, this is how it works. And the trick is, if Rue laughs, you're set. So it was just right. kind of like, here we go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was first in. I understand. I just felt stupid and giggled and then walked around and did one-liners.
Yeah, and it was a very long period of time. Like, I was in there for maybe, like, 10 to 15 minutes by myself before the next fucking person came in. And nobody goes, someone's coming, or this is happening. You're just wandering around in this freezing room with fake walls, just going, all right, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Well, we did hear when someone was coming because you said, sounds like a Clydesdale.
Yes, we did, because it was some heavy feet coming around the corner, and I was like, what's up? It was Darian Lake. She definitely's like one of those Budweiser horses. Yeah.
Now, did you watch Untucked? I sure didn't.
Okay. Well, on Untucked this week, Magnolia explains that she entered the competition for exposure. It's not for her career, but for her ego, which is, I'm wondering if the cow farm uses it for mulch, all this manure, because somebody needs a shovel.
And we also get a glimpse of where that fucking misdirect came from, which is the twerking contest on stage while they play Lollipop, which is a strange, why the everlasting fuck did we do that? What is that about? No, I don't need to, I don't need that. Anyway, Jocelyn,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jocelyn thought the actual
like lollipop, lollipop, that song,
lollipop, I'm gonna lick it, lick, lick, lick. The lady, what?
I'll let you lick it, I'll let you lick it, my lollipop.
I don't know.
Easy come, easy go.
Shake that booty to the floor. Lollipop, I'll let you lick.
Let's just get to the ads. That's what they really want to hear.
We get a few beads in Untucked. We're not going to go in depth, but Jocelyn says that she thought the point of the challenge was to use the most things in the box out of anyone. Mission accomplished.
That explains a lot, honey. And Darian says that it starts talking about her sexual encounters with straight men while in drag, which is something I've never done.
Welcome back to Lies and Deceptions.
They're not straight when I'm done.
And Courtney talks about, Courtney knows how to do gender identity and sexuality. But I look forward to some amazing Untucked moments this season, because really, season six Untucked does pop off.
It really does.
Just not this week. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser,
Race Chaser Classic
this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we'd love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. Take a moment and leave us a rating too. But it's just for our ego and not exposure.
You can follow the dolls at Willem at the only Alaska 5000.
And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod.
Mm-hmm. And our Mom Podcasts account is at Mom Podcasts.
We got a bunch of beautiful footage at patreon.com/
The most
Willem.
Beautiful.
You can search for that Patreon content behind the paywall pussy wall at Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser.
That's right.
Say Race Chaser again.
Race Chaser, Race Chaser, Race Chaser. You can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Okay.
Ooh, wear a mask, mm-hmm. wash your hands, mm-hmm. get the vaccine, mm-hmm. socially distance yourself, especially from Magnolia, and respect each other out in the world.
She's a flight attendant now.
Well,
she is. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever. Race Chaser with Alaskan Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.